Let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord, would you guide and direct our study here today? And Lord, we do want to receive from you exactly what you have. This is an important time. This time has been set aside for us to grow, and I pray that we won't miss anything that you have for us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are in our new study and looking at how our lives can be the fulfilled lives that God wants them to be. And a lot of practical things we'll be covering. And we're in the second study, and we covered a few of the steps, but that was 3 weeks ago. So I'm going to do a running start and cover it again, because the final 3 points within this chapter, you know, are all based upon the first few. So I will be back at the beginning of it. Seven steps for making right choices is the theme of today's study, and it really gives in many ways an overview of what is covered in the book in its entirety, sort of the conclusion, as she says in the introduction of this chapter, that she was going to sort of lay this out and do this at the end. She did it at the beginning, which I think is wise, because it gives us an overview that I think is very, very helpful. And so we're talking about making the choices in life that allow God to work, allow us to not let Satan or our flesh dominate, and to be making the steps that will give us the involvement of the Lord in delivering us on a regular basis. There's a term that is used throughout the New Testament, especially Paul's epistles, and the term is walk, our Christian walk. And it's a very, very good picturesque term of the fact that you have key times of surrender, key times in which you really do commit your life to the Lord. But to grow in the Lord, you've got to stay in that right relationship, being controlled by the Spirit of God, and that means you're going to be making choice after choice after choice. You've made a lot of choices to get here this morning. Okay, lots of steps you had to take to get here. I mean, simple to get here, but I mean, that's just the way it is. And you made a value choice that you wanted to be in Bible study this morning, and that's good. The Lord led you to do that, and so you had to make a lot of other choices to get here, and so we're here today. But there's a lot of things that are more difficult than that, that are what I consider wise in the road, that if we make wrong choices and then stay in the realm of that wrong choice, it really can change the direction and destiny of our life. And so these steps of wisdom that are given here, I think, are very good. When you come to a crisis, and a lot of crises come as to what do we do in our relationships, how do we handle trials. By the way, the message last night by Dr. Shaw on James 1 was a classic on how to handle trials. You got to go online and listen to that. That's your homework, okay? You need to do that. In fact, I invite you to the Spiritual Awakening Conference, Dr. Rick Flanders, Dr. Kevin Shaw. You can't find two finer speakers on the Christian life than these two men. And today, when face-to-face is over, there will be a session there in the music hall, and then at 1 o'clock, and then tonight, and same tomorrow, and tomorrow night, and tonight Dr. Flanders is speaking, and then on Wednesday night Dr. Shaw is. So I encourage you to be here. We designed the Spiritual Awakening Conference to get right down to the core of a lot of what we're talking about here. But last night was a classic, and I really encourage you to listen to that if you did not get to do that. But when you have something that comes that you have the temptation to immediately react, respond, and make a decision, point number one is, we talked about the last time, is stop. Don't do anything. And very, very good counsel. Now, there are certain things that choices, you know, you've got good character, you know what to do, it's not an issue. But I'm talking about these crises that hit you that elicit wrong responses, or maybe habitual responses that are not the best. And it is so wise to stop, step back before you do anything. Now, let me say, we're not talking about don't do anything. You'll see in the 7 points, that's not it. Some people just say, well, I'm not going to have problems with my husband, so I'll just not talk to him. Well, that's a decision, okay? Not a good decision. But at the moment, a wrong response is the wrong decision, okay? And so it's very important to learn to stop and let God begin to control your thought process and to convict you of wrong reactions, wrong perspective, and to enable you to make the right decision. So we spent some time on that aspect. Let me say, in my ministry and in my family, I would say that simple little piece of counsel there, I would say is probably the greatest protection for me. Don't immediately respond. Now, there are things that you know you ought to respond to and you do that, but I'm talking about things where you are tempted not to respond right. Stop. Do not do anything. Let God get a hold of your heart. Now, it is important that you keep a steady walk with God, because many times when you have situations that cause a reaction in you, you've got to have very quick personal revival. Well, if you're away from God and you haven't fellowship with God for a period of time, you've got unconfessed sin, do you think stopping is probably not going to work, is it? Unless you stop long enough to let God clear all that out, which you ought to do. I mean, listen, one of the greatest keys, and I really want you to get this, to staying consistent is to keep your walk with God in order, and every time God deals with you, let Him, I mean, just go ahead and deal with that and get right if you have to or whatever, and get back into right relationship with God, because inevitably through a day, you're going to have hard things happen. You get hurt by someone. Something bad happens. You get frustrated. You got to make a decision that would be sacrificial potentially. What do you do about that? And if you're not walking with God, you still need to get in the habit of stopping. But then you've really got to let God work in your heart. You know, sometimes you realize, I'm not reacting right here, or I'm tempted to not react right, and I haven't been walking with God for a while. Sit down and spend some time. Did you know God doesn't need a church service to help you get right with Him? That you can right then take the time and just what you know. And by the way, as we often say, the Bible does not say, search me, O me. It search me, O God. And so you will know what God is dealing with. Last night, that was a great point that he made. Is God chastening me? Well, if he is, you'll know. If you don't know, then there's a trial that God is deepening you and growing you in. And so you don't have to be having an introspective search, but you've got to learn to stop and let God work in your heart and listen to him. And then the next step is wait. The two merge together. You stop and wait and allow God to begin to give you the direction, the wisdom that is needed, and also for you to deal with the fleshly response or thinking. Something that's not relational would be, for instance, all of a sudden you have this great sale on this fairly expensive item that you've wanted for a long time. Stop. Step back. Wait. That's very important in purchases that we make. Impulse buying is one of the greatest problems that American believers come into, and then they don't have freedom to do what God wants them to do. And God may give you wisdom to do it, but I'm telling you, every time you make a major financial decision, you ought to have faith that God and real peace that God led you to do it. And then you rejoice in it. But if you did it on impulse, then you feel pressured by it. So that's another angle. There are so many things. Whatever is causing us, you know, to react, say something, do something, make a decision that just isn't of the highest order, that's what you want to avoid. Stop and wait. And that leads then to step number three that we covered, search the Scriptures. By stopping and waiting, you have an opportunity now to let God help you. Now, what you're tempted to do is you stop, good job. You're waiting, you're wanting to do what is right. And you're very tempted to say the wrong thing to your husband. So you want to get direction, so you call your girlfriend who has a problem with her husband. Wrong idea, okay. Isn't that what teenagers do all the time? They get counsel from the very ones that have the very same problem. Now, you need to let God speak to you. And God will subjectively speak to you, but you need the objective word of God. And many of you have some background in the word, and you can go to some passages that you know might address that. Or one of the simple little Bible reference tools, and of course on the computer and so many apps, you can just get tremendous reference helps. But a simple one is simply a topical Bible, Knave's Topical Bible, and look up the subject and see the references on that subject. And so that, I think we have that maybe in our bookstore here, and or something like that. And you can get that easily as an app, those kind of things, and just look up a topic. I mean, it's as simple as can be. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to just start looking at verses. And so search the Scriptures, and you want to find God's will. The law of the Lord is perfect. And then we touched on step number four. We covered the other three fairly thoroughly. So let me move on into the final steps here. As we stop, wait on the Lord, and get into the Scripture, we just need to start talking to the Lord about it. If you remember the last time I said, you know, one of the best ways to pray, prayer is talking to God. Now, I really am a strong advocate of having a pattern such as the Hour with God, the Christ Walk Journal that we do here at the church, where you have a pattern this morning, just such a blessing to go into the presence of God, looking at the attributes, waiting on God, confession, dealing with spiritual warfare, dealing with the promises of God, going into intercession, then going through thanksgiving, and then meditating on Scripture, and then listening to the Lord there at the end, and getting wisdom from God, and then finally praising Him through song and worship. It's a wonderful pattern. But as you deal with something like this, you know, you're dealing with an issue, and you stopped, you're waiting, and you're looking at the Scripture, you probably don't need to run and get your Christ Walk Journal unless God had shown you something that morning. What you need to do is just simply talk to God like you talk to your best friend, because He ought to be. You know, some people say, I don't know what to pray when I get in trouble. Just talk. Lord, I am really upset. And I know you know that. And I'm having a hard time because this hurts. Now, you gave me grace to stop. I haven't said anything, but I need to know what to do. Think that's a good prayer? I think it's a great prayer. And you can then let God begin to work in your heart, and He will draw nigh to you. Now, what is He going to do? He's going to show you some things. You know, you had an expectation of your husband that wasn't right, and you're upset about that. You got to give that expectation to me. You really had a selfish perspective. And all, you know, all of a sudden, God begins to work in your heart, and you realize, yeah, you start toning down on this thing. You realize, there's a lot here. I need to be thinking about what I should be doing for him. This hurts. We're going to talk about it, but I don't need to get upset right now, Lord. Amen. And that kind of talk, that kind of prayer, I mean, that's gold. I mean, that is just very helpful. Yes, Joan?
I was going to say that it just seems like when something would come up during the day, I wouldn't say anything back. And it just seems like the Lord kind of brings out things rest of the day that you haven't thought of at the time, that you would have spouted off and said something that you would have been sorry for.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so we always had a habit of waiting until bedtime before we talked about whatever the issue was. Well, by that time, you know, you have a chance to mull over the issues in a more composed manner.
Yeah, and well, spirit-filled manner is really what we're dealing with, but that is true. Anything on the impulse is wrong. Buying, talking, decision-making, when you are in any kind of emotional pressure or reaction, don't do it. If you can learn to stop on anything and let God begin to work, I'm telling you, you will not be bouncing all over the place. Because God has promised wisdom. Case closed. That's an absolutely bedrock promise, James chapter 1, verse 5. And so it is very, very important. I remember the story about an old lady, her husband died, and they were talking about what a wonderful relationship she had with him. And she said, We told each other there'd be 10 things we just wouldn't argue about and get upset about, and we'd just write our own list and wouldn't let each other know. So she said, I never did argue with my husband. And I said, well, wow, does that mean that it's just only the 10 things that were on your list? And she said, no, I never wrote the list. I just figured I wasn't going to argue, you know. But it's a cute, well, it's not exactly how the story goes, but it's a cute little story. About that. You do have to communicate, though, and you have to work things through. But anyway, pray. And as mentioned, some questions as you are praying about it. Why would I do this? Why would I not do this? Why should I do this? Why should I not do this? You know, simple thoughts. Why am I going to say that? Now, honestly, pointing out what somebody did wrong, so many times there's no purpose in it except to make you feel better. Won't make you feel better, but I mean, unless you need to help lead and guide them and help them solve something. But we get a fleshly pleasure, oftentimes, in correcting somebody else. And you know, your husband did it again. He left something out. Well. You know, do you need to get upset and tell him about it? Do you think he knows he left it out? I mean, there's another way to handle that than just, I just hit a nerve, I can see. All right. So we pray, and then we seek counsel. And this moves into the final 3 points, and I'm going to have to hurry on here. I'm telling you, folks, we all have blind spots. And blind spots are blind spots because we're blind to them. Isn't that really profound? But I mean, we can't see them. And you know, we can start making a decision and may make the wrong decision because we don't think right in certain areas. And sometimes it's great to have a godly friend after you've done the first 4 steps that'll just say, have you thought about this? If you make that decision, there's going to be these consequences. You know, men will come to me and they got a new job potential. And they'll ask me about it, and you can tell they're really tempted because it's more money. But then as we start talking about it, I'll bring up a couple of things they hadn't even thought about, and they realize, wow, that pretty much does that in. And it's just the Lord uses us getting together to talk it through. And to look at biblical principles regarding it. So we don't want to just do what is right in our own eyes. Proverbs 15:22, it's a verse probably many of you could quote, but it's just good to look at it. I often think of that. I thank God for the counselors that I have right here in this church that are a great blessing and help to me. Major decisions ought never be made unilaterally. They ought to be made with counsel. in verse 22 of chapter 15, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. And then you have Proverbs 11:14 talks about the fact there is safety. And there is great safety. There are a number of times, I think, you know, where I'm really excited about maybe buying something or doing something. Then I talk to some people that are experts in that area and I realize, oops, better not do that. Don't buy that car. Don't get that piece of technology. There, read these reports on that. I know that's not a big spiritual decision, but I'm telling you, it sure does safeguard. Or, you know, something you may think you ought to do with your child or not do with your child, and you counsel with somebody who's very biblical and they've had experience. Like Titus 2 talks about the older women instructing the younger, and all of a sudden you realize, man, if I do that, that is not going to help my child. And many times it's backing off of the difficult things you ought to be doing for your child. And someone with maturity can just evaluate that and say, you know, you really need to think that through. That's more of a human response to try to survive rather than what is best for your child. And those are key times of counsel. By the way, when you know you're probably getting good counsel is when you don't like it. Now, not always. It can get bad counsel. And that's why you need more than one. But when you get a couple of people telling you the same thing and they're people you respect and you don't like it, but down deep you know they're probably right, that is really important. That's gold. I mean, that is really gold to listen to that. Because remember, spiritual truth and spiritual discernment is always counterintuitive to the world's thinking and to the flesh. Faith is not what the world normally does. Believing God's word and obeying it is not the human natural way. We go the opposite way. So you got to understand that many of your first initial thoughts as you look at decisions that you got to make, there can be a lot of humanness involved in that, or background involved in that. And then somebody tells you what you don't want to hear, you know, I really don't think you ought to do that. If taken enough time, and then God helps you, you realize, no, I'm not going to do that, and you'll be so thankful. Now, having said all that, what's point number one? When you face the crisis, stop. Number two, waiting. Number three, search the scriptures. Number four, pray. Number five, seek counsel. And then you finally have to make a decision. Now, I said this earlier, being passive is not what we're talking about either. You are doing the first five so that you can move forward. What do a lot of people do when there's tension with a spouse and, phew, I didn't say anything, then they don't ever say anything, and it builds up. That's not the solution. Make a decision of what you're going to do. Oh, sure, seeking counsel. Well, I would say, well, with problems, you just got to talk it through and you will get counsel, absolutely. But on most every decision you make, you should counsel first and foremost with your husband. Yes, that is true. Well, see, men's brains are about this big, and women's brains are about that big, so. all right.
Now you're
Well, there's some truth to that, but anyway, we'll move on. So you're saying, counter to political correctness, that we are wired differently. Yeah, okay, we are for sure. Okay, but you have to make a decision. Being passive, and have you ever noticed that not dealing with the problem doesn't go away? It just gets deeper and deeper and bigger and bigger. So we're not talking about passivity. Now, sometimes the wisdom will be, don't do anything about that. That was just your reaction. Let it go. And that's God telling you that. But in a lot of things, and that's a decision, by the way. In other words, you don't just ignore something, you make a decision about it. And so you've got to ask the Lord for the grace to take a step of faith once you have waited, the Holy Spirit's working, you have a real sense of scriptural direction, you've prayed about it, you've had good communication with the Lord, and the counsel that you're getting, godly counsel, is agreeing with that, then take the step. Take the step and make your decision. And then number seven is act on your decision. Take that step and go forward and be bold in what you have decided. All right, for instance, you know, we keep sort of defaulting to the pressure, let's say with your husband or somebody, and you get hurt and you react. You wait, you don't respond wrongly, God gives you wisdom and so forth, and then you make a decision, well, I got to communicate. That's not the easiest thing to do. You've got to be bold and say, you know, I've really got to have the right attitude, got to be supportive and encouraging of my husband, we got to talk this through. That's what God told me to do. Got to be bold. Act on it. Do it. You know, something you're concerned about with your child, and instead of reacting wrongly, you need to act on it and solve the problem. Be bold about it. You got to make some decisions. And by the way, we talked about purchases. Let's say you've waited, you didn't go on impulse, you looked at your budget. I mean, it's a little scary, but it looks like something that really makes sense and good counsel. You got agreement with your husband, then make the decision. And when you purchase it, then just give it to the Lord and God will take care of you. You know, God wants us, I mean, God's so gracious. Don't be living as, oh, you know, what if, and doubt yourself all the time. If you follow the process, then just go forward. God will take care of you. And just have confidence in it. And don't be living fearful all the time. And a lot of people do that. So be confident in the decision once it's made. Do you think if you follow this process, you'll miss some at times? Yes. Thank you, Joan. You definitely will. And so, but you've done what God wants you to do, doing the best you can to make the decision. Do you think God's going to take care of you? Absolutely. He's so good. He is just so good. And so don't be a perfectionist. So at some point, you got to decide and then act on it. But if you will stop, wait, search the scripture, pray, get godly counsel, and then make a decision by faith, and then act upon that decision, then go forward. Just go forward in boldness and confidence, and God will bless that. All right. Those are simple steps. We'll be expanding on that, obviously, in different angles with the following chapters. But honestly, that's a nice little seven steps to memorize and really get in your habit of life to protect you. And so that will be good.